7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 40 of Color of Magic, your gaming podcast where we try to give a little bit of extra ear time, we'll call it, to people who don't normally get the exposure, and hopefully raise the profile of some of these minority groups in gaming. I am your host, Daquan Watson, as usual. I got my buddy Brian riding shotgun. How's it going, dude?
Going good. How's everybody doing out there?
I don't know, but I bet they're not going to respond to you right now.
Well, this is true. It sounded good.
So, hey, there is another interesting thing we're going to do this episode, so we'll get to that real quick. But first, I want to give thanks to our two new patrons, actually. We had two more last week. To Jeffrey Rugg, I think that's how you pronounce that, and Mike Hundley. So thank you two, because that every little bit helps, man. We've had a good rush here on the Patreon here lately. So super appreciative to all that from everybody. And I want to thank our sponsor, because these guys have been good supporting the show, supporting podcasts and YouTube and Twitch efforts. But if you haven't checked them out, check out cardsphere.com. It's a cool website where you can put in your cards. All your haves go in at the price you want to sell. And then you put your wants at the price you want to buy them. And it does the work to match you up with each other. That's the coolest part about the site. Like, you don't have to look around for somebody trying to buy your stuff or stuff you're trying to buy. It just automatically takes care of business for you. And the best part is you deal in real dollars. You're not dealing with like points or credit or weird fake currency. Like, you get actual dollars to cash out. So if you haven't checked them out, they're big supportive of ours. I hope you're big supporters of them. Go check out cardsphere.com. So the thing I was talking about, now that the business is out of the way, normally we save a guest till like midway through the episode, but this time we decided we're gonna let the guest ride with us through this episode, because we think there's going to be a lot of fun conversation and we want to kind of take advantage of it. So we're going to bring to the show, and we'll get into his background a little bit more later, but some of you may have seen him on social media, and he gets involved with the Commander community from time to time. But Shivam, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you were able to catch up with us. I know we've been kind of trying to touch base the last couple of weeks and make it happen, but we finally had our schedules line up. So,
you know, you would think that in a pandemic, people would have nothing but time, but it turns out when you're also a podcaster, everybody else is also a podcaster right now. So it's hard to find that one slot, but I'm glad I was able to come on.
Yeah, and there's some truth to that. I think right now, during isolation, everybody's kind of flexing their creative juices and trying to get involved to all these projects. But then that means there's even less time for everybody to go around, which is kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. It's real. It's just real trippy. And especially since, you know, when you're at home, you've got your family, your kids, you're stuck in your home. There's not like you can just be like, all right, well, I'm just going to skip out on dinner and go like, you know, podcast or stream or whatever it is. So it's real trippy. It's a challenge, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, we're gonna get to talk about a lot of things, and some COVID stuff is definitely going to come up later that we're going to talk about as well. But first, I got a good one I'm stepping up on the soapbox for today. So this one, and this is one that I think all content creators are going to relate to on some level. But man, we love all of you that consume our content, but at some point, y'all got to be cognizant of what you're saying and what you're trying to achieve when you reach out to these content creators. Because I know, and y'all have probably experienced this too, but I've had some people reach out after a video or an article or whatever that's like 6 months old and trying to remember every single thing in there or have a comment that's relevant to that thing, or even just randomly getting mad at you for a thing you didn't even have control over that you were just reporting on. Like, this is just great. What are you guys experiencing with this? Because I know it's been all over hitting me left and right.
One of my favorite things is when you make content, you post it, you put it out there. And then like, let's say a month, 3 months, a year or so later, something happens to invalidate that, like a card gets banned or somebody discovers the content, like the combo isn't in the meta anymore. You know, something happens to make whatever your hot take was not hot anymore. And then these guys are going to write you a long old letter saying, look it, man, you completely missed all these interactions from these sets that didn't exist when you were making your content and you are total useless. And like, bro, that commander wasn't printed until 3 years after I made that podcast. Maybe let's back up a step, you know?
That's a good one. That's a good one. Actually, Brian had a thing on his YouTube channel this week.
Oh, yeah. Somebody told me that the video was clickbait because I didn't get to the point fast enough. And then proceeded to write like 4 or 5 paragraphs in response to the video that they didn't have time to watch. Like, wait, what? This War and Peace diatribe in the comments, you had time to watch the first 4 minutes of the video.
And I think the biggest thing is, like, I'm not saying you have to like everything we do. I know everything I create is not going to appeal to everybody, and that's totally understandable. But when you go to say something, think about, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Like, is it really necessary to just go off on somebody because you don't like the type of deck that they played in that video? I've had that happen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all the time. I mean, how many times have you been playing like a game and you'd be, your Twitch channel is like, why are you using that card and not the better card? And I'm like, because I like this card because it's my deck. You know, like, so here's the thing. My gimmick, my whole like position here is I'm hardcore casual Magic player. I love playing cards that I like to play, right? Like, I'm a good Magic player. I can do it if I want to, but I want to play the janky weird cards because that's what I want to do. And people always get really mad that they're like, why would you play this instead of Rampant Growth or instead of Uro? I'm like, well, because I don't want to win, dude. Like, if I want to win, sure, but that's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to make 2 hours with my friends go by, you know? Like, it's just, it's so annoying. But I think the worst one, though, and this is like the curse of well-meaning, the worst one is when you say something that is wrong in a video or in a podcast or something, and someone wants to correct you in a well-meaning way. They're like, hey, you actually meant this, or here's some extra information about the thing you were asking about in your show. That's fine, but they never read the comments or the tweet.
Oh, yeah.
They never look at any of the other things anybody else has written. Because I guarantee you are not the first person to have that thought, nor are you the first person to post about that thought. So maybe if you take the 10 seconds to look and see who else has written, maybe you won't have to, and we can reduce some of the noise, right? Because the first time someone tells you something, oh, that's cool, great, I get it, I appreciate it, thank you. The second time, you're like, all right, well, okay. The 20th time, you're like, all right, dog, come on, you've got to be able to read, right? Like, there's 20 comments, you could see that. You had to scroll past them to get to this. And yet, that's true.
Like, that's a good one. I'm glad you brought that up, because I do sometimes feel that way. Like, especially, I get it if you see like there's already like 400 comments, but when there's like 10, you could have taken a quick chance just to peruse those and make sure other people haven't already commented, like said the same thing.
And it's like, it's fine. I get it. You want to help. You're helpful. That's cool. It's also helpful to just not help if somebody already has helped. please.
I had somebody, this was from last week, somebody left a comment. They were mad that, well, all these aggro decks are stupid and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know, they're just a waste of time and, you know, don't take skill or whatever. -1 sub. And I'm like,
wow.
All right,
one,
buddy.
You probably never even subbed to my channel to begin with. Two, have you not looked around? That's like my whole brand.
Yeah.
Is aggro decks. Like, so I was just like, sorry, dude. Like, but I knew everything I was going to make wasn't going to appeal to everybody. So I can recommend some people that make some cool control decks if you like. And then, you know, on everything I do on YouTube, I go ahead and give it a thumbs up and I click the heart button. My comments and other people's comments I'm responding to. So the dude responds like 30 minutes later and he's like, well, I didn't really want to hurt you emotionally and bust up your ego. So, you know, I hope that's cool, but you go ahead and liking your own comments is really narcissistic anyway. And I'm like, dude, like I said, not everybody's going to like my stuff. I don't really mind. That's cool. There's a bunch of people out there that make good content. Feel free to go watch it. And I said, I like and thumbs up like all the comments. So feel free to look around the channel. This isn't new. I didn't do it in response to your comment. You know, like.
And how terrible would it be if all the channels played all the same things or had all the same? That just would be, that'd be a nightmare.
Oh, the best part about all of it is I was responding on my phone from bed. I was totally not bothered. I was like, I put the phone down, then I watched some more TV. I was good.
No, I mean, the thing is, like, the last podcast, my former podcast, Commander, whenever people would make these kind of threats, my co-host would basically go to the Patreon and just look and check to see if they were there. And it's like, huh, you unsubscribed, you say. From my records, it looks like you've never subscribed. So one of us has a problem here, and it's not me. Bye.
Oh, yeah, like that one dude, I know he was not subscribed to my channel, because if you did not like aggro decks, you'd have been done from day one. Like, you never subscribed to my channel.
He's been doing that ever since I've known him.
Oh, yeah, I'm like, I tell people, if you come to my channel, it's going to be probably 85% aggro decks. That's just how I roll. Like, not a secret.
I am all for that. I love me some aggro.
All right, let's move on to some other topics. We've got a lot to talk about, and we want to learn about a little bit more about Shivam later. So, Brian, why don't you tell everybody what you learned last week?
Well, now, scientists, I guess I should say some scientists, before we go down that rabbit hole. Some scientists believe that humans have magnetolocation like birds and some other animals have.
Wait, what?
Yeah, apparently there are some scientists that believe that humans can read magnetic energy and possibly use it to navigate in the same way that animals, or some animals can, I should say. All animals don't do that. But.
All right, that is definitely a random fact that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So we were probably only a couple of generations away from having electromagnetic powers, is how I'm reading that, basically.
Yeah, but those generations are behind us. Like, we are the degenerates who have come from those guys who had mutant superpowers. like, you know, the people who, like, found their way on a catamaran to go across the Pacific Ocean, like, those guys had mutant powers. Our mutant power is clicking really well.
Yeah, exactly.
So my grandkids aren't going to be Magneto.
You're going to be lucky if your grandkids have bones, my dude.
Wow.
It's the same way nobody knows how to hunt. If the food ain't in the freezer section at the grocery store, they're done.
Look, man, if you try pandemic, to
fish, we can't eat fish anymore because mercury.
True.
I mean, think about it. How many people in pandemic have started picking up making things like their own bread for the first time? And how many of those loaves of bread are actually edible, right?
True.
And you know how much wheat it takes to make a loaf of bread? And you know how much space it takes to grow that wheat? I guarantee you're not doing that in your suburb. So,
true. I'm lucky. I live in a house with people who already love to bake. So,
oh, yeah. Like, I've been baking bread for like 2 years, and then suddenly pandemic hits and I can't get any flour anyways. I'm like, oh, well. I guess I was eating too many carbs anyways.
Less. Yeah, my wife's been nursing a nice jar of sourdough starter, and it's been growing regularly, so, like, we're good.
Sweet.
Oh, man.
I love sourdough.
I feel bad. Y'all are cooking and stuff, and I've just been eating more Taco Bell. I never learned how to bake anything.
All right, so what I learned last week, and really, this wasn't even last week. This was like 2 days ago. But it turns out, I don't even know why they have esports celebrities or athletes take all of these weird, angry photos, because it turns out hardly anybody even likes them. I was asking around. It started because of a thread on Twitter where Jess Stefan posted, like, they're just uncomfortable and she doesn't like doing them. And me and Yeoman 5 chimed in. I was like, yeah, that is kind of dumb. I don't know why. I'd rather see somebody carrying like their stuffed animal or making like a cool face or something or whatever. And then I went and asked some other friends that play other games, and they're like, yeah, I don't know. Those photos always look dumb anyway. So I'm like, whose idea is this? Who thought this was a good idea, and why did everybody else copy it?
It's like, look, dude, we're not baseball players. We're not wrestlers. We're gamers. And if you've ever seen a Street Fighter player standing up in their jersey trying to look all hard, it's like, look, bro, you're not Ryu. You're not going to look like Ryu. And this is not going to work. And with Magic players, like, put some cards in their hands. That's what we do. We're card players, right? That would at least look cool. Crossing your hands in front of you uncomfortably, like desperately wishing you had a deck, just makes you look silly. And it makes the game look silly.
It just looks weird. And the poses are always like arms crossed.
Super awkward.
They're like leaning back, like staring down at the camera. It's just like, it's like such a weird stereotypical pose. And I was like, for a while, just thinking like, okay, I must be the only one that doesn't really like these. But then when that thread started, and I'm like, oh, doesn't look like anybody really likes these. So then I started asking my video game friends, and they're like, yeah, I don't know. They're always weird anyway. So I'm like, who started this trend, and why do we keep it up? I have no idea.
Especially depending on like the uniform, the color scheme. For example, the Florida Mayhem and Overwatch League have red and gold, so their jerseys look like McDonald's uniforms. You can't look hard standing around looking like a McDonald's uniform. It does not work.
Oh no. Oh,
damn,
no.
That's actually pretty funny. I hadn't thought about that.
That's good stuff.
Because there's a reason people that design uniforms get paid, and you see it every time there's some kind of off-brand football league. Like they were designed by people that have never designed a uniform before.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. That's killing me.
Hopefully, I will say this, though. We did find, and I think it was Yeoman 5, he found a picture, and it was like a four-way picture, and I think it was, I want to say it was from the Dota Championships. I could be wrong. But they were just like goofing off and making silly faces or whatever. And multiple people were like, see, that looks fun. Like, I don't even care what game it is. I'm now more interested because those people have personality.
Exactly.
So why have we not changed to this? Especially when you're talking about in Magic, you want to change the perception or you want the game to be more fun and less serious or whatever. Why not just let the people come out and share? Like, seeing a picture of Brad doing something dumb with Corey would be pretty fun to see in a picture, right? Because they're bros. Anything would be fine. Like, even Jess was saying, like, the uniform fits weird. She doesn't like crossing her arms. Like, so she's obviously not going to look comfortable in the photo. So why not let her do something else? Like, I can get past the jersey. I get it. You're trying to do a uniform look and all that. That's fine. I'll give you that. But the rest of it is completely unnecessary. It is. But all right. We do have a guest on here. So we want to talk to our guests and give Shivam some time to really showcase himself and let y'all get familiar with him. So, Shivam, why don't you tell us about how you got started with Magic and kind of where you are today with your Magic journey?
All right. So basically, I started playing like a lot of us did back in middle school, which for me was in 1994. So I started like, I was in band and I would go to my band room because band was right after recess. And so I'd go right at the end of recess to go hang out with my friends. And in the back, I heard a dude saying, all right, so I'm going to cast this fireball on your dragon. And the other guy said, hold on, I'm going to counter that spell. And I immediately, being a, you know, an eighth grade D&D hardcore, I needed to know what was going on. And so I ran over there. I'm like, oh, are you playing Dungeons & Dragons? What's going on here? And they're like, no, dude, check this card game out. It's like Dungeons & Dragons, but with pictures. And I was totally blown away. And I looked at this and I'm like, holy crap, I need to get in on this. And so I gave it a try. And I looked and I saw the dragon was called a Shivan dragon. And I was so mad that they spelled my name wrong on the dragon that I was like, and my friends was trying to explain to me, like, you know, how colors work. I'm like, all right, what's the opposite of red? Because I'm super mad at them. I'm going to play whatever the ante that is. And they're like, blue and white? And I'm like, all right, here's $20. Give me a blue and white deck. And he built me this deck with, like, you know, sea serpents and Sarah angels and whatever. And a tundra. And it was pretty rad. And what I didn't realize, like, for 4 or 5 years, I played, like, blue, white, or Bant control or something like that back in early 90s when I was super terrible at this, even though my natural instinct is to be a hardcore turning things sideways aggro player. So it was like completely a total mismatch for me, but I was completely hooked by the game because, you know, have you ever seen a revised starter deck?
Like, I have.
The revised starter deck box, if you look at it, it's this kind of beigeish color and it's got the magic back on the front. And at the top, it's got this little red kind of like bookmark looking thing, like a ribbon that's painted onto the top of the box. Because the thing is a spell book. It's got your spells in it, right? You're the caster. You're the planeswalker. You pop open your deck, you pull it out, and boom, you've got all your spells in front of you. And that idea of being a wizard was so, like, transportive to me. Like, you know, being able to be like, okay, look, you know, because, like, the thing is, so I'm an Indian guy and Indian American, but the thing is, when I played D&D or when I was playing Magic early on, it gave me the ability to not be myself, right? Like, to be able to finally be just another normal dude, a big, you know, brawling dude with big swords or whatever, or, like, you know, bog standard white wizard guy, so that I could feel like there was less separation between me and the rest of society, because I was already weird.
I'm like, there's some escapism there for
sure. Exactly. There's escapism and, like, there's ability to identify with the culture I was born in, America, right? Like, even though I'm a vegetarian, I'm a Hindu, it's all weird. So, like, my holidays are different, but when we're playing Magic, we're both just spellcasters throwing fireballs at dragons. And that was so strongly appealing to me. And I got super hardened to the game. And then, you know, like, set came out, and then, like, they come out with Mirage, and I'm like, what the hell? Phasing and flanking? This is going to ruin Magic forever. It's never going to survive. And I'm in high school. I'm getting interested in girls and doing other things. I'm like, you know what? Forget it. I ain't playing this crap anymore. And so I left. And then I would read the Wizards website, and, like, because I was looking for D&D and Dragonlance stuff. And when I was in college, and Mark Rosewater and Magic started writing articles, and I was just, like, craving things to read. So I would just start reading all these articles. So I kept up with Magic while it was going on. And over time, like, you know, they put it on the Xbox with Duels of the Planeswalkers. And I was like, I remember Magic. I'll give that a shot again. Because I used to be a hardcore Chandelure player in the 90s. And, like, wow, it scratched that itch. And suddenly it was all flooding back to me. And then I was like, wow, I hella just threw all my cards away like 7 years ago. Like a complete animal. And I guess I need to go and get them back again. It was the worst, dude. I had a deck that was... had like 3 tropical islands, 4 tundras, 4 savannas, like, you know, soul rings, moxen, the whole thing. And it got lifted out of my brother's backpack in middle school. And that was crushing, right? Like, that, like, when I look at that, I'm like, it was hundreds of dollars then. And it's like tens of thousands of dollars
now. Oh, yeah. Now that's like a $20,000 issue.
And it's just like, oh, no. But what happened was 2011, that year, like, my friend's like, yo, come draft with me. And so I was like, I've never drafted before, because when I played Magic, there was one way to play Magic, and that was put all your cards in a pile and throw them at each other, right? And so we went and we drafted, and it was Rise of the Eldrazi, which is a terrible set to come back to Magic to, because I'm like, oh, I'll take a 2/2. That's good, right? No, it's not.
Nope.
And, like, the first card I opened is Sarkhan the Mad, and I'm like, what the hell is going on with this card? It's got weird numbers on the side. I didn't understand what a planeswalker was.
Oh, you hadn't seen a planeswalker yet.
And I'm like, what is this? And then, like, basically, Innistrad comes out, and I come back, and I'm unemployed because I used to work at Sony PlayStation. The recession hits. They cut us all off. And so it's like a random Wednesday, and they're having Worlds in San Francisco. And I was like, oh, you know what? I've been reading this. I'll just go and check it out. It's Wednesday. I got nothing else to do. I'm unemployed. And I go up. I take the train to San Francisco to go see the World Championships. And I pop in there, and they have Innistrad drafts for $5. And I'm like, dude, I'll play $5 worth of draft. Sure, I'll do it all day. And you know who's playing drafts at a Wednesday at Worlds? Let me tell you, when you sit down and you're next to Team Japan and Team Finland and Team Germany, and it's like, oh, I just, like, learned to draft 2 days ago. Like, I remember.
Yeah, everybody else is at work, so all the competitors are the ones that are there on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly it. They're the people who are, like, practicing for Worlds, right? Like,
yeah.
And I would be drafting, and I'd be taking a card, and then the dude would turn around next to me and be like, why did you pass me this? Do you know how to play? And I'm like, no, I don't know how to play. Like, okay, look, this is how bad it was. I was playing a round, and my opponent had to get up and leave because he was getting his Hall of Fame ring. And that's when you're like, okay, I'm in the wrong damn place. So, like, at 10 o'clock at night, I'm in the hall, and I'm just jamming, and I'm, like, crying, and, like, my sealed deck is garbage, and I'm, like, sitting there with my opponent who just, like, thoroughly smacked the crap out of me. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to. And he stops and he helps me. He builds my deck up. He's like, okay, look, you need 17 lands and 23 cards. And he taught me all the things you're supposed to learn how to draft. And I was like, thank you so much. It's so kind of you. And that was Reed Duke, who sat and spent like half an hour teaching me how to do this. When
always
he, that was
when
he was the reigning Magic Online champion and he was in World. And I was like, he changed my life, because if not for that, I was ready to be like, okay, well, Magic was fun and I'm done and I'm moving back to, you know, D&D or whatever it's doing. But because he took that time to stop and like help an obviously struggling scrub learn how to actually do any of this stuff, it like changed my life. And like the next day I came back and I'm playing against Mark Rosewater because he's spell slinging and he draws me tokens and we're having a good time. The only deck I had was a dual deck that I had bought from PAX 1 year. Just so I was like, oh, well, this is the only deck I got. And they're like, okay, well, I guess we'll play it. And I was asking questions like, what's a fetch land for? Why would you do that? You know, it's like all this stupid, stupid, basic low level stuff, but somebody's got to, right? Somebody's got to teach you how to play the game.
Yeah.
And like, it's funny because that was the same event. And like, for instance, the same store that the professor at Tolarian Community College, he came to that same event too, because we went to the same store together. We came back to Magic at the same event together. And that World of 2011 was where we both learned, like, where our lives basically changed. And so after that, I went home and I discovered Commander because, like, somebody had written an article on Wizards of the Coast about, like, how to turn Grimgrin into zombies. I'm like, oh, my God, I can play Sol Ring and all these cards I had as a child. And so I got hella into Commander. And my friends on my message board were like, okay, we're going to play Commander on the message board by texting and by posts. Right. So they lent me a deck list and I got a Cockatrice or whatever, and I'm playing Magic by post. So it took 3 weeks to resolve that one game. Because you do something and everybody has to post saying, I pass priority. Right. It took forever, but I learned that Commander is exactly where I want to be. And then like Magic Origins comes, like I started getting into the community. I started getting hardened to the community and Magic Origins comes out and they're talking about Kaladesh. And I was like, oh my God, we're going to get an Indian setting. It's going to be amazing. This is all I've ever wanted. I've been playing Magic for 20 something years. Finally, I get to see myself in the game. And it's like Chandra, the redheaded chick from Belfast, is the hero of Kaladesh.
Yeah.
What? Wait, what the hell? And I was completely like, yo, you know, like, they like hacked her in to make her dad into an Indian. So she's biracial. And I'm like, okay, fine. My son is biracial. I get that. That's rad. But dude, like even in the one time we're going to get an Indian setting, you have to have like the white savior come in and do the thing. And I was just crushed. I wrote this long open letter that like a post on Tumblr, Brian passed around, a professor, he passed it around to people. It got seen by like everybody and WotC people were basically kind of like a repeat of what happened in June, right? Like, except it was me and getting just hate from so many people who were like, why aren't you happy with what you got? Why can't you just be okay with it? It's just a card game. Who cares what they look like? I'm like, homie, you've had white people sets for 25 years. This is the one brown dude set I get. And it's not. Right. Like they were using terms in the stories that were sacred terminology that is Hindu, like the stuff that's not meant to be played with. Right. Like, sure. And I'm not saying like you can or can't use any concepts, but this is something it's like, look, this is important. And if you're going to use it in this setting, maybe let's be a little bit more circumspect about how you do it. And you know what Kaladesh means?
No, I didn't know it had a different meaning.
You know what Kaladesh means? The word Kaladesh, Gull. The word there is the same as in Kali, as the goddess, a.k.a. black. Black and Desh means land. So it's literally called Black Land. And I was like, are you for real? But what they did was they were going through a dictionary because they were trying to find like technological land or something. And like Kal also has a meaning of time. And if you go to like the fifth entry, it's like engineering. And I'm like, okay, fine. But the way that every South Indian is going to read, I mean, South Asian is going to read this is going to be Black Land. And I'm like, oh my God, you could not have seen that.
I never knew that.
Right. And they didn't either. And it's just like, oh dude. And so the thing is though, I'd made friends with the WotC folks and I went and visited Seattle and I was hanging out with some of them. We went out to lunch and I was talking about like, okay, look, Origins was cool. If you guys ever make a Kaladesh set, give me a call. I've got a whole ton of ideas on how I can help you. I've signed NDAs with the company. We can do this. I can help you make the most amazingly robust Indian setting. It'll be amazing. And they were all smiling and not saying anything. And literally the day I'm on, the next day I'm leaving Seattle to come back home, and I'm on the airplane and I'm firing up my phone to read the Daily Magic story. And it's like, announcing the next set, Kaladesh. And I'm like, those assholes didn't even tell me.
Yeah, it was already in the works.
Yeah, it was like not only in the works, it was straight done and locked and coming out next fall. And then I look up and I start just getting super excited. And I'm writing all these long essays about cultural representation, about like, here's all these things you could be doing. Here's magic things that you could bring into Kaladesh to make it work. All of this stuff. And like, WotC invites me to come to PAX to go see Kaladesh, the launch that they did.
Yeah.
Which was absolutely gorgeous, right? It was stunning. And so I go up there and I go up and I have one of the worst weekends of my life. Like that is, I had built up this entire world of amazing stuff. And what we got was 1950s American car culture with an Indian wallpaper pasted on top. Right.
I feel you. You know,
like, yeah, it's just the whole thing was a complete, like, they were so afraid of using anything of the culture that I remember the art director was like, we didn't want to offend anybody. So we made sure to not use anything. And I'm like, so you took my clothes and my wallpaper and my skin color and my names and left me. Like, you left me out entirely. You took all my stuff. You put it on top of the you pasted it on the wallpaper, and then you told me to go home. And
I feel you. I want to say this. Like, I remember being there for that event and seeing the number of women that were dressed up like Swahili.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, this is cool. Like, these are mostly Indian women, but, you know, dark-skinned women.
Yeah.
That were like, hey, here's somebody I can portray. She's beautiful. She's dressed awesome. The outfit's great.
The outfit was
But then it was like, Swahili didn't even do much in the story.
Oh my God, dude. Here's the thing. Like, later on when I was thinking back on this, I wrote that when they unveiled the picture, they showed me this beautiful Indian woman who's got, like, you know, my mom's nose and long, thick, curly hair and this amazing sari. I mean, it was everything I could have hoped for. And then she's got this little, like, thingy in her hand that's like a little, you know, trinket that's bobbing up and down. I was hella focused on the girl. I should have been focused on the trinket because she was just there to be, like, eye candy, right? Like, it ended up being energy and vehicles and dwarves. And if you took Kaladesh right now and you cut the top of every card off and asked, is this an Indian setting? You wouldn't be able to say so. Right? Like, if you looked at Amonkhet, you could probably say it's an Egyptian world. Theros, you could totally say it's a Greek world.
Sure.
If you took Kaladesh and cut the entire top half of every card off and told me it was set in, like, Rebel Without a Cause world, okay, fine. I'd believe it. You know, yeah, like, you tell me it's set in, like, Germany in, like, the fall of the Berlin Wall, sure, I would believe it. Yeah. But India? No, never. And after I wrote a long-ass essay, like, basically on Tumblr about, like, my feelings about this. And I got picked up by, like, everybody. I got, you know, messages from everybody, like, Rosewater's contact me. All the, like, you know, WotC people are like, we're so sorry we let you down, but I told you not to build your expectations up. I'm like, dude, there's not building my expectations up. And then they're straight just bait and switch lying to me. Right. Like, and the thing that got trippy is, like, after that, the folks from Commanderin had me on their show to talk about my feelings about this, and we clicked really well. And so I started joining the show permanently. And for 3 years, I was a co-host of Commanderin, and I became well-known in the Commander community and, like, you know, hardcore on Twitter and everything. And I got invited at the beginning of last year to come up to Vancouver for the pre-release for the second Ravnica set, Guild of Ravnica, maybe, or whatever. No, yeah. Whatever it was.
Yeah. Ravnica Allegiance.
Yes, the one with the Simic, whatever that set was.
Yeah.
So I went up there for that, and that was awesome. And that same day, I got a message from Sheldon Mennery, who's a creator of Commander, and he was like, yo, we're starting up an advisory group, a group of content creators and people who are high in the Commander community to come and join us to talk, to help us understand Commander better, to talk it through, to, you know, build the show, to build out the community, to make the game reflect the people who play it. And so I was like, okay, I'll do it. And I joined. And then for the past year or so, a year and a half, I've been a member of the Commander Advisory Group. I've been helping them kind of shape and formulate the format, work on it. And, like, you know, I've been an, like, I'm a hardcore casual player. I'm all about the kitchen table. I'm all about hanging out with your friends and doing the fun thing instead of the cool thing. But last year I was like, also became, you know, the defender of CEDH and the hardcore competitive scene, because I believe if you want to play Magic, you should be able to do it with the least amount of obstacles possible.
Sure.
No matter how bad you're playing, right?
Play it the way you want to play it.
Right. Exactly. Like, it's my job to help facilitate making Magic the game that you want it to be. It doesn't matter that you're playing a way that I don't like. My job is to make sure that the way you're playing with your friends is the most fun it can be. And that way we were able to get like flash banned so that CEDH would actually have a meta again, instead of just one deck that they used to hit each other with. And so, yeah, like, and that kind of brings me to where we are here. Like, I've got a podcast now called Casual Magic. And otherwise, I, you know, I sit and I talk about like cultural things. I talk about Magic and where it could be better. I try to up the representation of melanin around, you know, and like, I mean, look, dude, in my other life, I'm also a Hindu priest. So my job is to bring positivity, to help people understand each other, to help communication. And like, Magic could be one of the best games ever. It is a great game. The community and the company need to change. And that's kind of part of what I've been trying to do. And it's been hard, because when you're the one guy, you're the one guy.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm sure y'all know exactly what it's like. Like, oh, hey, look, it's the black guy who plays Magic.
You know, I'll say this. You are, I'm sure there's going to be people listening that are going to be like, man, this guy's so lucky. He got, like, basically, Sheldon Mennery was Batman. And then he was calling the Justice League, and you got selected, you know, or Iron Man putting together the Avengers. So, and Sheldon's supporter of the show. So, you know, thanks to him. But like, what does that entail for you? You know, now that, you know, like you're saying, you kind of have a voice for a whole group of people, and you're kind of the guy. So how does that play into the commander setting with the RC and everything?
So what it ends up being is, like, I like to call myself the unofficial press secretary of the RC, which is to say, like, because I'm so prominent on Twitter and I talk a lot, I have a lot of communication with the community. So like, I put out questions out there, and I listen to what the people have to say. I take the feedback back to the guys, and I'm like, okay, this is what's bothering the community this quarter. This is like, these are the cards that people are having problems with. This is where like the noise is coming from, like Paradox. Like, and also I try to bring up issues that they might not have thought about, like cards that are like, it's basically like, okay, so there were a card called Iona, right? Iona, Shield of Emeria. We all know what that is. It's like gigantic angel, and it locks a color out of the game. And for a lot of people, it was just like, whatever, it's just a big angel. But when you're going to casual tables, or when you're going to like an FNM, and you bring your commander deck out for the first time, and you're playing a monocolor deck, and you sit down, and someone's like, okay, you're out of the game. You can't, like, if you can leave, but then you wasted your 2 hours to play, or you can sit there and just beg and plead and hope that somebody takes pity on you and politically removes that other card from the game. Or, like, and I was just like, no game should just sit there and say, you don't get to play. Like, it's fine in, like, a vintage format or in Cube or something, where you know that the whole idea is that we're coming here to swing haymakers at each other. But in Commander, Commander is a social format. Commander is a format of hanging out with your friends or people you meet at the store to sit down, maybe to just jam the one game you're going to get a month or something like that. Like, Commander, like, when you're an adult and you got a family and you got a kid and you got a job and you got all this stuff and you want to go out and play Commander, Commander's like a 3 hour commitment, 2 to 3 hours. You know, the first of it just shuffling and talking with your people, seeing what decks you're playing. You don't want to spend that one day a week, one day a month, whatever it is that you finally got to take out to go hang out with your friends, and just sit there and stare at them. That's a miserable experience. Like, why would you do that? Like, I could be doing anything else. This is what I wanted to do. And you're saying I can't. And that, like, offended me. And nobody was saying that this is a big problem, except for the people for whom it was just like a life ending. Like, because the thing is, when you get hit by an Iona, you're just not coming back. That's a commander player we lost forever. Yeah. Right.
Oh, sure.
And I was like, I'm not here for that. I'm not okay that we, the widest open, most popular way to play Magic, are sending people away for a card that has no business being in a multiplayer format. Right. If it said like everybody doesn't get to do something, fine. That's everybody. You're playing a prison deck. I get it. Everybody. But it says one person. It says pick a color at a table you're going to see, like, let's say one person will be like monocolor, there'll be a couple multis. The other people at least get to do something. The monocolor guy's going to sit there, draw their card, discard, draw their card, discard. It's like Leovold. Leovold and Commander, Leovold and Vintage is great. Leovold and Commander is an absolute travesty against God and man, right? Like, and that was what I'm here for. I'm here to advocate for, like, all the folks who are just the super casual players, the people who are,
see,
like,
you've taught me a thing though. Like, I need to get a couple of bots to start posting on Twitter about Cyclonic Riff so we can get rid of that's the real story here. You're burying the lead is what's happening.
I don't think that was what you were supposed to take away from that, Q.
It's funny. Rift is like one of those cards where everybody's like, so why is that still legal? And I'm like, okay, A, it's 8 mana. It's a blue player. Blue's got literally nothing else.
Oh, right? Sure.
Like, they need to reset the game. Okay, I hate Rift, but I've tactically used it to win games before. So the problem isn't Rift. The problem is everything that goes around with it. And if we could just ban blue, I'd be okay with it.
Deal.
Like, I'm so okay. Like, just take counters out of the game entirely. Take bounce out of the game. Nothing is more offensive to me than having something bounced, because that is such disrespect, right? Like, that's just like, fine, you did your thing. Okay, you can have it back now. I'm like, what? What the hell, man? At least do me the favor of destroying it. No, you're just going to insult me, waste my mana, and give it back to me? That's like, heinous, man.
Quit hitting yourself.
Oh, God.
So,
yes.
So there's another thing I want to touch on, you know, because you talk about being active in social media, you know.
Mm.
And I don't know if some people are aware, but the people that do follow you saw you kind of take a hiatus from social media, I guess, about 2 months ago now, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, I did.
And then you came back. So, like, do you want to tell people kind of like what led to that?
Sure.
And then kind of what, so, your resolution on kind of coming back to the scene?
Okay. So this is a bit of a two-part story. So I used to be in video games, right? Like, when my first jobs out of college were working in the games press at 1UP and like EGM and things like that. And I've worked at PlayStation. I'm like deep in the video game industry. And about in 2014 in August, we all know that Gamergate happened, right? Like, sure. It was the societal change where every mediocre white man decided that he needed to be heard right now all at once. And I was one of the frontliners there, because, like, I'm friends with Zoe Quinn, I'm friends with Jen Frank, I'm friends with all these big names that you've heard of women who got obliterated off the internet during Gamergate. And one of those things was I was one of those targets. Like, I would get doxxed. I would have bomb threats called to my house, right? So this is the sort of thing that used to happen to me, because I was a hardcore liberal, a brown guy in video games, a journalist, all the things that they just hated. And because of that, I learned what it meant to get targeted on the internet for hardcore harassment. Like, there's trolling, and it's like, who cares, trolling? There's people who are like, you know, just give you a bunch of hate. I can block you. And then there's, I'm going to send my army of people who don't give a crap about you to ruin your life until you leave, and then I'm going to point them to someone else. And there's a few guys in the Magic community who are like that. And I'm not going to say names, but y'all might know 1/4 of him. I'm just saying, though, this dude, like, him and my former podcast, like, he doxed one of my old co-hosts, and it got real messy and real bad. And then I was mentioning it arbitrarily, randomly to a friend, and his bots name searched me. And they found, or they were name searching this guy, and they found him, and they started just piling in. And I saw it coming. So early on, what happened was I was basically like, you know what? I lived through 2014 and 15 and 16 and 18. I've seen what this story goes. I don't want it to go there. I've got a kid, right? Like, I've got safety to be, we're in a pandemic. I don't need this. And right now there's riots going on. These guys just want somebody to kill. I am not going to be that guy. And so what I learned is that when you have the Eye of Sauron on you and the orcs are coming at your door, you just leave. Just close that door and leave for like 3 or 4 days. They will get bored because they didn't care about you in the first place. They don't know who you are. They don't care who you are. They just know that their God King quote tweeted you. And that's a signal saying the hordes must go here. And immediately after I left, homie took down the tweet, deleted it because he's like, oh, I'm just sending it to nowhere. Whatever I want. Let them have the win. Who cares? They're never going to look at you again. Let them think they beat you. They will never think of you again. They leave. Because, like, right after that, homie attacked John Boyega. John Boyega of Star Wars. What echelon am I in that that's where you go from me to that? Right? And I'm like, all right. if I just leave, they will find somebody else to bother who can deal with it. And I did. And it was also right in the middle of, I was taking so much crap from the Magic community just because I'm a hardcore casual. People are like, you don't know how to play the game. You don't know how to do this. That. You're like totally ruining Commander for everybody. You're like, you know, I'm like, or you can shut up and, you know, and just have a nice day and leave me the hell alone. I mean, it just got really old and really tiring because it's one of those things where you're like, what do I need to do for you? Like, I got rid of the card you didn't want. I got flash banned. Leave me alone. And these people are just like, everybody is so convinced of their own self-importance and of their own, like, their problem is the problem, right?
Oh, I feel you. We were talking about this earlier before you got on the show. I mean, before you came on the pre-show, where the recent announcement today about Jumpstart, where you're going to be able to play for 2,000 gold and get 2 Jumpstart packs and do your thing. And people are still angry about that. And I'm like, it's a reasonable value. Like, what are we mad about?
Like, seriously.
It's like, well, I don't get the stuff the way I want it, particularly. You know, and it's like, oh, guys, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing?
There's just things to be spending your energy on. And we've got bigger things to be dealing with in the world. And the thing is, though, what I've also realized is that these things that we have to deal with, all these problems in the world, are not something you can yell at. Right? Like, you're frustrated, you're built up, you've got all this tension, you've got nowhere to aim it. Like, you can't go yell at the government. You can't yell at the flu, right? Like, the flu doesn't give a crap who you are, right? Coronavirus is not going to, like, is not going to be your best friend, right? Like, so you go down smaller and smaller until you find the thing you can yell at. And who can you yell at? Your friendly neighborhood loudmouth brown guy talking about Commander all day. And I'm like, all right, I know this game, I know how it's played, and I know where it's going. And to hell with all y'all, peace. And I peaced out for like 4 days. And the thing is, honest to God, I thought nobody would notice. I was like, okay, if I just walk away, like, it was in the middle of, especially like the, you know, the Black Lives Matter stuff and the Black community of Magic suddenly waking up, and or people waking up and realizing that they're Black people who actually play Magic, you know? And so y'all were getting a lot of heat too. And like,
oh, we were,
it was going in every direction. And I was getting a lot of that too, because, you know, I'm not Black, but I am brown. It's close, and it's close enough for the white guy. And it's like, they're not like, it's funny after 9/11 and after, like, you know, all this, I'd go to my dad and I'm like, man, they're going to come after us. You know, like when Trump got elected, I'm like, these guys are going to come after us. And dad's like, no, dude, they hate Muslims. We're Hindus. And I'm like, you think the guy with the gun who wants to shoot me in the back of the head is going to ask if I'm a Hindu or Muslim first?
You know what? That's absolutely true. And I can tell you a true story. When I was, and this is back when I lived in Texas, but after 9/11, you know, about a week or so after, there's this convenience store that was owned by an Indian family. And they were super nice. I would stop there a couple times a week. Super nice people. People went and vandalized and threatened their place. And I literally looked and I'm like, what are they even doing? This isn't even the right type of brown person.
It's like, they just want to give you a Slurpee and go home, man. Relax.
Yeah. I'm like, what the hell? Like, what's wrong with you people? And that's when I realized, like, for some people, it just doesn't matter. Like, don't look like me, so it's wrong.
And in Magic, I get that all the time, right? But I'm used to that. What I'm not used to is when the brigade comes. And that's when I was just like, you know what? I'm just not going to sit here. I know where this is going to go. It's going to sap my energy. It's going to make me a sad person. And frankly, there's no value. I'm not going to win. You can't beat 20,000 anonymous people or 2 million anonymous people. This guy's got a big old following. You know, like, I don't want to be the target of a YouTube video. Like, I would much rather he just forgets I ever exist. And so I peace out. And then, like, the Magic community was just like, you drove Shivam away. Oh, my God. And I was like, whoa, guys. Like, you didn't care about me yesterday. What happened? And it was crazy. It was incredibly gratifying, but also just, like, crazy. Right? And I had to talk some friends of mine down off the wall because I'm like, you don't want this guy paying attention to you. Like, he's got guns. Like, literally got guns. This is not the fight you want to pick. You're not going to get anywhere. And it sometimes it's strategically taking the L so that you can live. Right.
Yeah.
And that's a weird place to be when you're talking about the hobby you do. Like, that's not how you should be referring to your hobby.
Well, with all that happening, what was it that changed your mind or gave you like the all clear to come back?
Because I kept tabs on what was going on. I kept tabs on where the army was going. And some of my friends were just like, yo, my mentions have cleared up. And I was like, all right, I'm going to poke my head out and look. But also I sat there and I did a penance. Basically, I was like, you know what? I'm way too deep. I am way too like getting up in people's faces. I'm getting too argumentative. I'm getting too defensive. And I was like, I need to stop. I need to like meditate and just chill. So I took like 5 days. I turned off social media and I was just like, I'm going to reengage with my family, reengage with my life, figure out what's going on, see how much I still care about this stuff. And then we'll talk. And it turns out I did. I care a lot about this stuff. Like, I love magic. This is my favorite hobby. This is how I keep myself sane in the pandemic. And I looked and like a few of my friends forwarded me some of the nice things folks had said. And I was like, all right, you know what? I'll come back. But with like a lot of just kind of caution. And also just, I'm an old man. I know how to deal with this. And it's been great since I came back. Because
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's been really supportive. And I'm really grateful for like just all the people who are ready to actually go and fight a fight for me. Like that, it's like the people who, when you're not there, who will pick up and be like, yo, this isn't cool. That's the people who, you know, your friends are, right?
Well, you know, sometimes it's also, I think, for other people not realizing what they miss until it's gone. You know, and when you weren't there, they were like, hey, I haven't seen him post in a couple of days. What's up? And people are like, oh, this crazy thing happened. And it's like, oh, wait, what? You know, now you went after one of my dudes. Like, you know, so then it becomes a thing. But when you're there every day, they're kind of like, oh, hey, all right. I see another post from Shibam. That's fine. It's true, though. It's true. It's just kind of how it is.
Absolutely. But it's just like, it's so like, this is not how anybody should have to live. Like, we just want to play the game, right? Like, you just want to hang out with your friends, play the game, and enjoy yourself. And it's just, it's so distressing in like, not distressing, disappointing. It's so disappointing that there are people who are just so like into this idea of a closed garden where only them and their specific style of play is okay. Like, it's so frustrating to me when people, like when Paradox Engine was banned, and I was getting like threats from people and like all these angry people like sending me pictures of like, you know, from Godfather horse heads on pillows and stuff. And I'm like, really? Maybe just
dude,
relax.
They horse-headed you?
Dude, I've got a picture of somebody sent a stuffed horse head on their pillow and they had like stuck a copy, like an invention copy of Paradox Engine with like a knife straight through it into the head. And I'm like, you know what, man? Maybe you don't deserve to play the game.
That is like crazy. That is literally like, crazy.
How sad are you? Like, what is wrong with you?
I'm just thinking, like, how mad do I have to be at somebody to go? But seriously, how mad do I have to be to go get like a horse head, cut it off, a stuffed one, like pose for the picture, go find a rare card, like
yeah, a sick, it's not even rare, it's like $60 card.
Yeah, like this whole thing is like a 20-minute ordeal. To like pose the right picture and get all this, and then send it to you. Like, I'm gonna get you, MF-er. Like,
and I was just like, all right, well, you're not getting the card back, so I don't know what to tell you. Sorry.
That's a long time, like you said, to set it up and to not cool down at all and realize I'm putting a stuffed horse head on a pillow and stabbing a piece of cardboard.
And it's just like, come on, dog, come on. Like, Paradox Engine was bad for Magic. Like, that get. Okay, so here's the thing. People are like, yeah, but my Paradox Engine turns were great. And I'm like, dude, you cast a spell, you untap all your permanents. You cast a spell, you untap all your permanents. Fine, that's great for you. But if you don't have a solution or a win, that's like 45 minutes of you just tapping and untapping. And like, okay, fine. The dude next to you gets to play. But what about that person three people down from you who's now been waiting an hour and a half for their turn? Maybe let's not have that card in Magic. How about? People never think about like, if I had to say one thing that I've learned since joining the Commander Advisory Group is that nobody has any sense of empathy about other people's playstyles. Nobody has any idea of what's going on outside the 12 people in their meta. Nobody gets that the card that is super cool for you is super detrimental to the other three people at the table.
That's totally true. But you know what? I want to say, for what it's worth, we're glad you're back into the community.
Well, thank you.
I think your voice matters. It's important. And I'm glad we have somebody like that for the casual players to speak up for some of those things.
Well, because, like, think about it. One of the things that got me was when you look at content, when you look at content that's made for Magic right now, it's all, like, at the top level, you've got all these professionals talking about the meta, talking about, like, the hardcore deck that you're playing at the tournament, talking about, like, you know, what you should be doing at the Pro Tour, or, like, the average Magic player is never going to go to a GP, let alone the Pro Tour, right? Like, sure. The average Magic player is not, maybe go to FNM, play, like, grind it out once in a while, but for the most part, like, all the content, like, all the Commander content is hardcore competitive people playing high-level decks. I get it. It's fun to watch high-level Magic play, but the average person's playing horse deck, right? The average person is playing, like, here's my ladies looking left, or here's all my chair tribal, right? Like, here's these cool cards that I got 25 years ago that I just really wanted to play with. Like, Mahamoti, like, okay, look, I had a turn in Commander where this is my opening hand, right? Like, I go fetch land into Tundra, Tundra into Sol Ring into Mana Vault, you know, drop a Mox, and then, you know, follow all this stuff up with Mahamoti Jin, 5/6 vanilla flyer. And people are looking at me like, that is like $800 worth of vanilla garbage that you just threw on the table.
$800 to cast 25 cents.
Right? Not even 25 cents for 30 of them. Right? Like, and I'm like, yeah, but you know what? This is a Mahamoti Jin that I had in seventh grade. So what are you going to do about it?
Like, whatever. 5/6, deal with it, boys.
Yeah, like, look, man. This is just like, you find your happiness where you find it. And Magic has so much people covering, like, it gets a bad reputation that, oh, this is a super hardcore game full of unsmiling people who stare at each other at a table silently, don't give anything away, not even a blink. You're staring just like poker face at each other. I shuffle my cards in my hand, you shuffle your cards, you tap one land, and I say, holding priority. And I'm like, that's not the way real people play Magic. Real people are just bullshitting with each other.
And they're frowning down their nose at you with their arms, like, crossed.
Real people are like, yo, hang on, I'm drinking my soda there.
You beat me to the callback, Daquan. You beat me.
I'm just saying, man. I'm like, you know what? Like, the average Magic player is a scrub. The average Magic player is just a person who bought some cards and is having a good time, hanging out with their people, and they still count. And that was one of the, like, my entire goal is like, look, man, there's this whole silent majority of people who just really, really want to play their elf deck, or really, really just want to have, like, you know, like, play an X spell really big, or, like, you know, just have fun. People just want to have fun. And we need to not forget that. Like, we can't just focus on the folks who are the most engaged, hardcore Reddit posting, you know, podcast making people, right? Like, these guys have a voice. The dude playing at the kitchen table doesn't. Like, somebody sits there playing Prodigal Sorcerer Tribal, right? Like, somebody's making, like, all dragons the deck. Like, they deserve to get a voice, too.
And okay, one fun story, actually, I want to share that totally speaks to
I was just getting off track. I was just...
No, it's totally fine. Going and I don't remember if I've told this story on the show before. I know I've told Brian the story. But at one year at Gen Con, it was me and Sheldon and, like, two randoms. And me and Sheldon were just talking, but then, you know, they saw Sheldon. They wanted to play Commander with him, obviously. Mm. So I'm like, sure, I brought a Commander deck. We can chit-chat while we're playing with these guys. So we get, like, maybe four turns in, and one guy's just, like, self-comboing or whatever, right? So we're talking to this other... And the second guy, he's playing a farm deck, right? So he's got, like, Elvish Farmer, stuff that makes goat tokens, you know, Swords to Plowshare. I'm like, okay, cool.
I'm this here is kinda, for this.
Yeah, this is kind of sweet, right? So this other dude, he's for real taking, like, I don't know, 15 minutes or something. And we're over there asking this dude about all the cards that are in his deck or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So this guy finally gets done. He's like, okay. And then I hit all of you for 55 damage or whatever. We're like, all right, cool. And we look at the other dude and like, okay, go ahead. And the dude's like, no, I did damage to everybody, killed you all. Like, no, we're agreeing, you won. We're just going to go ahead and finish playing Magic.
Yes.
So this other dude takes a start, and the other guy's like livid that, like, we didn't give him his, like, moment of glory or whatever. And we were just, but we were like, dude, we already shuffled our decks. We got everything out. We're only like 4 or 5 turns in. Let's finish playing Magic, right?
Yes.
And, you know, and Sheldon just, like, stone-faced him, and we just kept on, and the dude just huffed, like, picked up his stuff, like, slammed his thing and walked off. Sheldon probably doesn't remember this story, which is so hilarious, but
I love this so much.
This is for a long time ago. This is probably like 12 years ago or something, but Dang. I just remember that so much because I remember that dude's deck and thinking like, this was awesome. Like, this whole scene is awesome.
There have been so many times because that's one of the things when you become a personality in quotes, right? Like people always want to beat you. Like I remember I was talking to Josh Lee Kwai when I was just a fan and he was a hardcore creator and we were talking about this and he's like, yeah, man, look, dude, every time I go out to a GP to play Commander, people bring their best deck because they just want to be the guy who beat Josh Lee Kwai. And I'm like, okay, well, I get that. And I understand, like, now people sit down to play with me. They want to show off their stuff. They want to show off their coolest, best thing. And I'm like, yeah, but it took me longer to shuffle my deck and play these two lands than it did for you to beat me. So maybe can we just give you the win and then actually just play? Like, yep. There's nothing on the table. So if you won, what now? That means that we don't get to hang out. So
dirty secret is that's literally every level. Like, even when I had my store, when people got to play one of the staffers or the store owner, that was a big deal. They wanted to be. And it's like, dude, several of my employees aren't even good. Like, they enjoy the game, but they're not good at Magic. They'll tell you they're not. So, like, I don't understand the glory in beating somebody who's, like, playing with budget decks all the time. Like, I don't, like, humans are weird sometimes, man. I don't know what to say. It's just, like, it's a weird thing that we have about us as gamers.
It's just so miserable. It's like, I mean, look, I understand because, for one thing, this is the one interaction they're going to have with you most of the time. I mean, when you're like a podcast or something, obviously a store owner, maybe not, but they want to have bragging rights. They want to be able to go home and feel good. And for the most part, I'm that type of guy who's super indulgent and I'm happy to let you win. Like, if you're winning, it'll make you happy. That's what I'm here for. I want you to be happy. I want you to feel good. And then I want us to just have a good time. But if you're going to like wreck me in turn four, then I'm going to be a little bit like, okay, well, next time, maybe let's not play a four turn win. Or tell me beforehand and I'll bring my four turn win and then we can see.
Like, oh, this happened to me last night on stream. Oh no, it was night before last on stream. I have a channel point thing on Twitch that you can spin to like challenge me with whatever deck and you pick the format or whatever. So guy was like, yeah, I want to play standard, but I want you to play a jank deck. And I'm like, okay, cool. I have this big dumb gruel deck that plays like Mirror March that just tries to make a bunch of copies of like Elder Gargaroth or whatever. So I'm like, all right, that seems reasonable. And like, so turn two, I attack with a Robber of the Rich, and the first thing it finds is a Wilderness Reclamation. And I'm like, what the hell, dude? Like, you're like, you should play a jank deck. And I'm like, what? Like, what are you doing? Like, oh, and the whole stream is just like, whoa, that's kind of messed up. And I'm like, yeah, a little bit.
So yeah, I remember it was mine. At GP Vegas, like, let's say 4 years ago or something, we sit down and we've got like eight people in this game around one of these tables, a gigantic table. And it's like a whole bunch of us. And this one kid wants to really, really play with us. And he pulls out and he's got like this turn four, like basically he pulls out the exquisite blood sanguine bond combo type of thing and just like ruinates us. And we're all like, I didn't even get to like, I haven't looked at my hand yet. You know, like you beat us before it made it to the third player. And so, I mean, I wish people had more awareness of etiquette when it comes to playing. Like, if you're going there and your goal is to, like, win, then rule zero, tell us that. And then, okay, I'll bring a deck and we can have a real contest. If you're here to pup stomp, does that make you feel good? You wasted half an hour of my life and for nothing. There's no prizes here, so good on you.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a weird thing, you know, because winning is nice. I know we all want to spend time on our decks to like do the cool big thing our deck does. But I think you're right. There has to be some awareness that if I do this every single time before my opponent gets to do anything, why are they going to invite me back to play?
Exactly. Like one of the things you see is this is why I'm super big about speaking out against people playing Commander for prizes, because I think that sends a wrong message. Because if there's something on the line, then of course I'm going to bring the best possible deck I can bring to win because I want that thing, right?
For sure.
But if we're just playing with our friends and you bring out the deck that's here to crush, you're not getting invited back next week, right? Like, I mean, look, I get it. Game's got to end. People got to win. That's fine. But there's ways of winning that are not atrocious, right? Like, if you've got a cool, like, okay, I've had things where I've been with my friend and we've been playing and I'm like, yo, I want to test this combo deck out. So I'm just letting you know right now, this is going to be a super high powered. It's going to go all out. And once it wins, we'll just shuffle up and play another game. And they're like, all right, cool. Let's just test it out and see what happens. It does a thing. Everybody's happy. It doesn't do the thing. Okay, back to the drawing board. But we all knew going in. So our expectations were set that, okay, I know this is possibly not going to be a fun game for me, but that's okay because we all understand, right? But for if sure. I just go into a store and I sit down and I just want to join a random game of Commander and I pull out my, like, you know, my zombie tribal deck and then somebody else pulls out their Leovold lockdown deck back in the day, well, okay, you won. So I guess I'm just not coming back?
Yeah, exactly. Or we're going to start another game and not invite you to play.
Right. Like, all right, you three guys want to keep going?
That's sometimes what you got to do, though.
Yeah.
I mean, just to send the message of like, you did your thing, but we're just going to keep playing Magic without
you. Yeah, but I got 2.5 hours left, man. So I'm going to play.
Yeah, that's such a tough one for people. And I don't know why that's so hard to understand, but it seems like it is for a lot of folks, which is really tough.
It's just it's really just frustrating to me because I feel that it doesn't have to be this way. I feel that, like, with discussion, like, because when we implemented Rule Zero in Commander, the idea is literally just have a conversation with the people you're playing with before you start playing so you get an idea of where everybody's at. And people took it to mean like, oh, look at you. You're using Rule Zero as a panacea. You don't want to include Planeswalkers and Commander. I'm like, no. I don't care about any of this. I just want to make sure that when you sit down to a game of Commander, that you and the other people you're playing with know what you're getting into. I want you guys to have a fun time.
Everybody understands the rules of engagement.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Like, if I sit down at a GP and I've got my standard deck, you've got your standard deck, I know that we're going to leave with one of us dead on the floor. That's what I'm signing up for. If sure. I'm at a Commander game, is that what I'm signing up for? If that is, I've got a deck for that. But you got to tell me. Right?
Well, you know, and I'll say this too. One of the things we tried in our store, because, you know, there was like the Commander League thing that people tried for a while, where you have different things to score points. And then at the end of the season, you know.
Sure.
But I realized even if you have the points and you publish them, then people are just going to build decks to maximize the points. So what I ended up doing is coming up with a list. I didn't tell anybody what the list was. And then I randomly drew either like 6 or 8 things that you would score for that day.
Oh, I love it.
So that way you just showed up and it might be things completely random. And maybe your deck even can only achieve like 5 of the 6. But that was the only way to make it worthwhile for a lot of people. Cause otherwise it was like, oh, well, guys are waiting around for their card that lets them tick off another 3 boxes or something to get 6 more points or something. And it was just like, yeah, this is just silly. But when you randomized it, then it was like, okay, well, just bringing a deck to be the most over the top doesn't necessarily score you any points on the day. So you want to have something that at least has a bit of a mid game. So when you find out what the things are, you could at least try to get a couple of them before going for the win. And it worked out okay. So maybe if that's something, if people want to try doing a league thing, that's one way you can do it. Well, I mean, just keep the goals secret.
If we ever get back to playing Magic with people in person again.
Well, yeah, that's also true. Speaking of, that's a good segue to our dinner table talk segment.
Yeah, see, that's my finger pointing at you going, see, I see what you did.
Because one of the things I do want to, and we have a lot, I think all three of us have some stuff we can say about this, but I'm just saying, like, I've been, because I don't know if I think I've mentioned, I'm still on some retailer groups where everybody's talking about a lot of different things going on right now, as far as how to handle business, how to handle organized play and gaming. And there are stores that are still trying to run events right now with COVID happening. And I almost get it from a store perspective, like trying to keep your doors open, whatever. But as a player, if you go to any of these stores and you're playing right now, you don't ever get to say a damn thing about player hygiene, player etiquette, any of that stuff ever again. You have given up your rights for that. Because I'm going to be honest, if you say some stuff about, oh, well, this dude had some BO, or this person didn't want to shake my hand and we were done, and I know you were playing in stores during COVID, I'm going to go dig that up and shove it right in your face for real. I just know it. Just know it. It's coming. And I'm sure y'all all know of stores that are trying to do stuff right now.
We talked about this on the podcast earlier. Not even just the DFW Magic Facebook group just decided they didn't want to shit. They didn't want to, you know, post tournaments that they were happening live. People got mad at them for not posting the tournament because they decided they didn't want to support this.
It's crazy. I mean, literally, we are seeing people die in record numbers right now. And a lot of people, they're at home with kids, and some are living at home with their parents or grandparents or whatever that is susceptible. Like, what is wrong with people?
I mean, look, the store needs to make money. Rents are hard to pay. I get it. But also, let's be realistic for a second. You're spending 3 hours in close proximity, or like 2 hours, even 1 hour. Let's say your game is like an hour long at your pre-release or your FNM or whatever. An hour in close proximity, in like spitting distance with another player in the middle of the world's worst pandemic, and they're just breathing all over you. And like, you know, COVID lasts on the plastic that's on your sleeve for 3 days. You know, are you kidding? Like, is it really that important that you need to be tapping your lands in person?
It's crazy. I don't understand. Like, and don't get me wrong, I am totally about supporting retailers, small business. I have been in their shoes before. I get it.
Sure, of course.
But you know what? I've still been going to my local store. I've pre-ordered a box or two. I've picked them up. I've done box openings online. I'm trading. Now, I've seen people that have gotten together with like one or two people and hung out and done a thing. And I'm like, okay, cool. If y'all want to do that, great. But to do it in a setting that's going to have 6, 8, 20 people, okay, in a small space, that just doesn't make sense.
So here's the thing, right? So I order stuff from my local store all the time, especially still now because I want to help them pay their rent, right? Because at some point this will end. I want to be able to go back to the store. So I go there like to pick up Core 21 stuff. And I go inside for the first time in like months to go and look at the store. And all of the tables have these plexiglass separators. So like between like the two players, there's a big plexiglass wall between, like, on a table where there's like 6 seats. Each of the seats has its own little kind of cubicle, and when you're sitting there, it feels as much like you're in a prison and you're expecting there's a phone and you're getting your one phone call with your family who's come to visit you on the visitation weekend or whatever. And I was like, I don't know if this is worse than having just like nothing. Like, do you really want to play Magic in a situation where you're literally in a glass box? Like, at that point, why don't you just go home, fire up your webcam and your Discord and play that way? That's what I do. Like, yeah, I've had friends.
That's like one step away from a conjugal visit.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And I'm like, look, dude, what happens if you cast Control Magic on this creature? Are you going to pass it over the plastic? Like, doesn't that defeat the purpose? I mean, it blows my mind a little. It's just, I've had folks come over to my house to hang out. We've worn masks and been at like the opposite side of my backyard. We could even probably play Magic across the table, like long enough away. But it's just like, I understand we're in a situation that's unprecedented. People need company. People need, like, we're social animals. We need to each other. That's why social media is so big. That's why all this stuff, like even this conversation we're having, is so important, just because being able to talk to people is so important. But one of the problems is a lot of Magic fans just don't have other means of social communication. The game is where we do it. And when you take that away, we're stuck, right? Like,
yeah.
And desperate times, okay. But you got to sit there and say, like, what is more important? My life and my future well-being, or being able to alleviate the sadness that I have right now from being alone? And I don't know about you, but I will deal with this sadness until the pandemic dies down. Because I still want to be playing Magic 25 years from now, not hooked up to a respirator.
I'll tell you how much of a nerd I am right now. Like, I have literally built a spreadsheet of people that we normally hang out and socialize with. And I am on a red, yellow, green system. So if you have had screwed up behavior during isolation, I'm probably not going to be hanging out with you for a while. And I am dead serious. I have a Google Doc. For real. I mean, like, because I'm just trying to be safe, right?
Absolutely.
You know, and we have like one friend. She's been like isolating by herself this whole time. I was like, cool. You want to come over, hang out? We can do a dinner or something. We'll keep our space. Fine. But that's also somebody I know who's literally been at home by herself, except for going to the grocery store, for the last 4 months. But I have other friends and I'm like, dude, like I've seen you out and about, like you've gone down to the beach and stuff. Like, what the hell? I'm like, no, I don't want to hang out and trade cards or whatever. I'm good. That can wait.
Now, mind you, my mom and bro went to the beach today and they were literally the only ones on the beach. And that is the only time that I think going to the beach is acceptable, when you are literally the only ones for miles. Yes. Go not to the beach on a Wednesday.
Disney World is open. What the?
Yeah, no, it's not. Disney World is open if you want to die.
Here's the thing that's crazy is all the rules going on right now, too. Like, Disney World is open, but yet Florida has posted the record number. I think it was like 3 days ago. Record number of COVID cases for a single day. As a matter of fact, I saw a stat and I meant to verify this and I haven't yet. They said if Florida was a country, it would have the fourth most COVID cases right now.
Yeah, I heard that also. It's been on TV news, so I'm assuming that's legit.
That's bananas.
I mean, the governor of Georgia today. Dude, it's completely. And the thing is, people know that this is happening. You know the numbers. Everybody knows somebody who's gotten COVID or is coming close or know someone else who has. I mean, like, this isn't a myth. People are straight dying. Maybe you just think you're immortal. I don't understand. Like, you know, it's weird. It's this weird machismo of like, yeah, I'm going to show it that virus that you can't stop me. I'm like, no, dog, the virus is not a terrorist. And if the virus doesn't care what you're doing, if you're posing and just like, yeah, my freedom and I'm going to go where I want. I'm like, well, you're going to die and it is going to be your fault. And I don't know what to tell you. Except get away from me until you die, please.
And here's the biggest thing, and this is what I try to impress on a lot of people, is if you do want to get back to going to your local store regularly, or going to Grand Prix again, or if you're a competitive player, you know, trying to get on one of these big cash tournament things or whatever, Star City opens again, you need to do the behavior that lets us get there faster.
Yes.
And if that's us staying separated, playing more online, wearing a mask when you go out and about, whatever, then just do the thing to make it go away. Like, who cares about how you're going to look wearing a mask? Who cares about, I mean, because here's the thing, like, you might not believe in the disease, but science don't give a damn.
Like, disease certainly doesn't care.
Yep, it's going to win one way or the other. And we've seen enough proof, because I have friends from other countries, and some of the people that come into my streams and stuff that are telling you, like, oh yeah, we've had 11 total COVID cases in the last 2 months or whatever. And that's in like Taiwan or whatever.
Wow.
And Taiwan has as many people as the state of Florida does. So if Taiwan could do it, Florida could do it.
You know what it reminds me of?
They chose not to.
You know what this reminds me of? Like, I'm a dad. My kid is 6. And so one of the things I think about a lot is the experiment that they do with kids, where it's like, put a marshmallow on the plate in front of you. If you don't eat this marshmallow, I'll give you a whole plate of them. And like, you know, half an hour or something. And then they leave the room and the kid eats a marshmallow, right? Like, that's where we're at. I'm like, look, you put the mask on today, this will all be okay in 6 months, right? They don't put the mask on. They'll put the mask on while I'm here. I leave, they take the mask off. And I'm like, well, who knew that we were all just a nation of children?
Yeah. Oh,
God, is this, it's like heartbreaking to think about. It's like, this is so, it's like, did you fight against wearing a seatbelt? Like,
some of them probably did.
I used to teach defensive driving. Yes, actually, they do.
Oh, for Christ's sake. It's like, homie, it's like, if you're going to smoke your cigarette at the gas station, then I'm not responsible for when the thing blows up.
You would not believe how many people swear that they saw wrecks where the cop told them, if you'd have been wearing a seatbelt, you'd be dead right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not how it works, but.
Yeah. But and here's the thing I will say. I mean, there are a lot of good retailers finding ways to be creative during this time. And one of the things I always tell people about entrepreneurs and business people, especially in the game industry, because we're a bunch of like creative nerds and geeks, now is the time to get creative. Find ways to reach out to your communities. Find ways to engage people online. Find ways to do cool little promotions. Find better ways to do your curbside pickup, you know, whatever it is. But there are things you can do to get through for now. It's not going to be the same. And yeah, it might still end up being like 20% less than you normally do. But you'll keep the doors open. Your people will be safe. And we can eventually come back and see you. Now, granted, that might not be till February, you know, but we can get to that point. If, as players, we don't do our part, these stores won't be here anyway. Hell, if you're not careful, some of your friends may not be here by the time you get back. And I would be, honestly, some retailers doing it because they don't even want to be the place that it's backtracked to. Because when they start going, okay, well, where were you hanging out? Who were you next to? Or whatever. And you find out that your local store is the place that there was a COVID outbreak, they're probably done.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, you're doing them a favor as well by not being there, not increasing the odds that it even comes back to them. And how bad would you feel if you found out later that you tested positive, but it just happened to not affect you, but two of the people hanging out with you that day ended up going to the hospital. Maybe one dies or has permanent injuries because of it. I would feel terrible. And I would have to know that potentially somebody's death or maybe new disability or whatever is on me. Like, I don't even want to have to think about that. So players, let's just try to be smart and just bide time. Still support your local stores. Find other ways to engage without going to an event. Still feel free to go in, shop, pick up some things, get your local comic books, board games, whatever it is. That's awesome. But we don't need to be hanging around each other in large groups right now. We just don't. Now is not the time. And with that being said, I'm going to give everybody quick event updates. Unfortunately, the Plague League event we were going to participate and have Brian make fun of me during commentary is not going to happen. It is canceled until October. And that is a big, big sad face. But hopefully it'll be back in October and we'll get to do that. This weekend, I will be doing commentary with Channel Fireball for their CFB Pro Showdown. So that's going to be pretty cool. I think they just started sharing the ads today, so you can see everybody that's involved in that if you're on Twitter. And next weekend, I will be involved with the Players Tour Final. I believe it's sponsored by Wizards of the Coast and the MPL. So that's an interesting thing. And I want to say thanks to Pleasant Kenobi for having me on his YouTube channel on Tuesday. Even though he smashed my face horribly in three games of Brawl, we had a great conversation during that, so it was all good. And finally, we have actually finally had an artist reach out to help us with cover art for the show, but unfortunately, their styles did not fit up well, so we're still looking for a cover artist. Please hit me up in my DMs and let me get an artist paid. But with that, Brian, why don't you tell everybody how they can find you on social media?
I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter. Our family channel on YouTube is Alan's Ever After.
And Shivam, how can they find you?
You can find me at Girapuri Gears, which is hard to spell, but if you're a Magic player, you know how to spell Girapuri, you can figure it out. And also, you can find me at Casual Magic, which is available anywhere podcasts are, or at casualmagic.libsyn.com.
And as usual, y'all can find me at Power Dragon, PowerDragn on most social platforms. And at the very least, you can find me streaming on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays on Twitch and just about every day on YouTube. And with that, we're going to get out of here. This was a great conversation. Thank you, Shivam, for stopping by. That was actually awesome and some good story time that I think people are going to enjoy.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely.
Cool. And wherever you are listening, whenever you are listening from, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And dead serious, just stay safe out there and watch yourself, everybody. If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us at our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate, other patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at ColorofMTG. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.